Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, May 2nd, 2014. TGIF Friday, Al? TGIF, Al?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It's TGIF and TGIF. TGIS again and so on. I don't know. They're all good days.
They're all good days.
I don't see any of them that are. I don't see any of them that are significantly better than the others. You know.
Well, it was always TGIF. It was the last day, but right before the weekend and so forth. But I love my work, so I enjoy being here. So you know, TGIF.
It's when you're a kid. Yeah. TGIF. It's like New Year's and the rest of that. We're gonna party like it's 1999. Ah, bunk.
Boy.
Just another day on the calendar. That's
and
all.
Just be thankful. Woke up this morning, right? Make it a beautiful day, and it was a beautiful day in gold today. I was tickled. We'll see how she pans out for next week. But after the reports coming out today on the unemployment numbers today for the past month, and we'll go over those right after we do the market reports. I expect it to be a little bit to the downside today, so I was pleasantly surprised when it was. We had a high of 1306. Couldn't stay. Well, we're right now. We're up 1280. 1280 on the New York spot at 1298.70. You have silver up 43 cents today at 1955. Platinum was up $13 at $14.42. Palladium was down $3 at $815. And the U.S. dollar, I expected a lot of strength. I did expect it to possibly bump above 80 today or get a little bit closer, and it was higher. But right now, 79.50. Not a lot of change in the U.S. dollar in the index. Crude oil was up a couple cents today at 99.76. Paper markets, I thought they would be, you know, taking off. There'd be at least the S&P to get to a at least come back to its record. No deal. The Dow was down 46 points today at 16,512. You have the NASDAQ down 3, 41.23, S&P 1881, 254. We did see a little action. We finally dipped below 60, 2.59. percent on the 10-year yield. So, as I said, let's finally get some action going. So, you know, we're just not maintaining a level. And We got a little bit of that today in the 10-year yield. So, wow, these unemployment numbers doesn't seem like, you know, yeah, they report the numbers, and then we get to read through it and see what's really going on. And I think the markets, at least for today anyway, are beginning to read through to see what the reality is.
I don't know what's happening. It may be that they've already gone to the bars this morning and they were too drunk to pay close attention. Hard to say. But here's an article from Reuters that says U.S. payrolls surge in April. Jobless rate hits 5.5-year low. Yay! U.S. job growth increased at its fastest pace in more than 2 years in April, suggesting a sharp rebound in economic activity early in the second quarter. Non-farm payrolls surged 288,000 jobs last month. Labor Department said on Friday, this is the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that was the largest gain since January of 2012 and beat Wall Street's expectations for an increase of 210,000 jobs. See, Wall Street, they expected 210,000 and they got 288,000.
Well, given what they
I don't understand what Wall Street's expectations have to do with anything. Again, I expected a pony for Christmas, and that was a long time ago, and I still expect that pony. But guess what? I didn't get it last year, and I doubt that I'm going to get it this year, and who particularly cares? What do Wall Street's expectations have to do with this? I'm not saying they are irrelevant, but there's reason to wonder. Why should we even care? Why is this significant? The article continues. While the unemployment rate dived 0.4% to a 5.5-year low of 6.3%, part of the decline was because hundreds of thousands of people left the labor force.
800.
Yeah.
Thousand.
Yay, we created 288,000 jobs last month. Oh, incidentally, 800,000 people dropped out of the... I don't know. I don't know whether to sell party hats or should we be selling pitchforks and torches? What should we be selling right now, Melody? Is this cause for celebration or is it cause to raid the castle, go after Baron Frankenstein?
Well, I think it's really neither, but it does give you an idea of exactly how the things are misread and manipulated, and it's. The reality is not here. Go ahead.
I understand. It's like we should invest on the basis of some fictional story about the stock market or some fictional story about the economy. And we should make our investment predictions based on, I don't know, the Wolf of Wall Street. How about that one? We can use that what is it with Gordon Gekko and Greed is Good? I don't remember the name of, was it called Wall Street?
Wall Street, yes.
Was it? Yeah. All right. Make our investments based on that. This is just nuts. And they are predicting or claiming that the unemployment rate is down to 6.3%. John Williams at ShadowStats.com says the real unemployment rate is roughly 24%. Now, I'm not claiming that Williams is a prophet. All right, and I'm not claiming that he's absolutely reliable in terms of his numbers, but his numbers are credible. And if we can believe Williams, the real unemployment rate is four times higher, or nearly four times higher, than the 6.3% that's claimed by the government to be the official rate, the official unemployment rate. According to the article, U.S. Treasury debt yields soared after the report and the dollar jumped to season highs against the euro and the yen. U.S. stock prices rose marginally. What else have they got? Labor force, here it is, labor force declined by 806,000 people. Now, where do those people go? Do you suppose they all emigrated to Canada? Melody, where'd those 800,000 people go? Or are they still here and merely unemployed? Which, you know, we are running a system. This is part of the reason why John Williams says the real unemployment rate is close to 24%. It's because the government keeps cooking the books. They have a different recipe on a regular basis of how to calculate unemployment. And their formulas inevitably minimize true unemployment. And the result is people are misled and they're deceived, and we can't get straight numbers. We can't get straight answers. We don't know. And how do you know how to invest? You know, the difference between people's investment choices. If it's true that the unemployment rate is 6.3%, you invest one way. If it's true that the unemployment rate is 23-24%, as John Williams says, you invest a different way. The difference is whether we are strengthening and in a recession and perhaps even going into a normal economy, or whether we are already in the midst of a depression. And we can't get government officials to tell us in a way that we can rely on where are we. They also talk about the article, broad measure of unemployment, which includes people who want work but have stopped looking. Okay? They want work, but they're not looking for work. Okay? This is like me. I want apples, but I'm not going to pick any apples off the apple tree. They still want to count me as an apple consumer. It becomes just irrational. They've got another group for those working only part-time but want more work. That number fell to 12.3% in April. It was 12.7% in March. What I'm trying to get to, we have the government, if you get close to this, the government actually produces multiple unemployment rates. They've got the official rate of 6.3%. They've got another rate, 12.3%. They've probably got another one that's a third one, if I recall correctly. When you consider them all, the result isn't clarity so much as confusion. Wouldn't it be nice if we simply had a number that told us how many people were simply unemployed, regardless of whether it's in a month with an R in it, okay? Regardless of whether it's what, how many people are unemployed? Don't give me seasonally adjusted. Give me what have we got? What do we got? How many people are unemployed right now? I think John Williams has done just that. He cuts through all the crapola and reports that the total unemployment rate is 23-24%. I won't argue that his number is absolutely correct, but I'll guarantee you he's a lot closer to the truth than the government's 6.3%. And it bothers me. It irritates me. It offends me. I am insulted by government's propensity to continue to tell me lies. It bothers me. They're not even good lies. I keep complaining about that. Besides, if you're going to tell me a lie, tell me something I might be able to believe in. I can't even believe in the lies government gives us, and yet the government is shameless. You understand? It doesn't matter how many lies you catch these people in. They're going to just keep on telling you more and more. It doesn't matter. Why? And there's a great economic indicator in that. And the indicator is that if the public knew the truth, the economy might collapse. And that economic indicator implies that we are at least close to a serious decline in the economy. The economy is so fragile that under, you know, a black swan event could push us over the edge into something, a serious decline. We're close to it. Doesn't mean we're going over the cliff. Doesn't mean we're going to have that serious decline. But we're so close to it that the government has felt compelled to lie and lie and lie again. And they've been doing it for several years. All by itself, that's an economic indicator that should tell people there are some ways that you can invest that are sensible, given the current state of affairs. There are other ways you can invest which are not sensible, given the current state of affairs. How are you going to invest, Melody?
Well, when you have that type of lack of truth in investing, there's only one place to go.
Yeah.
You need to preserve it with gold and silver. And you know, another report, again, you always call it leaves in the breeze. And nearly one in five people are on food stamps in five states.
Yeah.
And again, it's just another reminder that this country is not doing as well as Washington and Wall Street wants us to believe. You have Mississippi, Oregon, Tennessee, New Mexico, and Louisiana. The food stamp use ranges around 20% of the population. Nationally, about 15% of Americans are on food stamps. And they keep telling us that the economy has improved, But when you have numbers like this, it doesn't back it up. And, you know.
What are the five states you just mentioned?
The five states was Mississippi, Oregon, Tennessee, New Mexico, and Louisiana.
I was just wondering how many of the people, how many of those people have come here from Mexico, perhaps as illegals, perhaps not. And it's just crossing my mind, maybe we should distribute our food stamps to the people in Mexico rather than here in the United States. We might not have as many illegal aliens.
I don't think that's really the case, Al. I don't think that's the case.
Interesting insights.
I don't. I think you would see more states like Arizona, California, you know, and so forth, Texas. These are more, I believe, hard-hitting manufacturing hubs and people, and the jobs that are being opened up are not going to those states. I mean, you have states like Texas, and you have states like New York, who are, and other states that are basically giving tax-free to corporations to, if they move their businesses to the state, well, you know, you don't have to pay taxes, you know, corporation taxes for the rest of your life, or at least for 10 years or so forth. So certainly it's harder for, you know, the smaller states to compete for the new businesses that are relocating and so forth. Back in the 1990s, the recession, food stamp usage, that spiked in 1994. It was just 10% of the population that was on food stamps. So,
now how many?
15. National average is 15%, but you have many states like the ones I mentioned that are 20% plus. Heck, Mississippi is 22%. So that is the highest of all the states. So
could be we just have more people who want to go on diets. So they're not normally eating that much anymore, so we give them food stamps. You think think dieting has anything to do with it, Melody?
No, I don't, Alan. I hardly think that the money that people get for food stamps is hardly enough to, you know, actually...
No, I understand that. I'm just...
Their eating habits. I mean, this is a serious problem.
I agree it's a serious problem. I get off on some of this stuff, and you get... it makes you crazy, kind of. You watch some of this stuff, and it really does. It's like, good God.
I mean, it's just not, you know, it's just not what's, you know, it is coming, what is happening that's coming out in Washington. What they've done to, you know, with all the, you know, we go over this time and time again, the trade agreements, the, you know, everything that they've done in order so our jobs and our wages continue to elapse. I mean, and people are having a hard time. And
yeah, I understand that. You can trace most of it back to the government. Government has made bad choices, and they make bad choices on a persistent basis. You know, if we could go back and point to the good things government has done lately and say, well, yeah, they screwed up on NAFTA or they screwed up on the Obamacare or whatever, but they did a good job on such and such. But I wonder how many people really can point to any economic programs by government that anyone really believes, oh, yeah, this is good. This is going to make good sense. We're getting good bang for the buck on this thing. They persistently make bad choices, which leads you to wonder, do they make bad choices just because they're incompetent and stupid and ignorant? Or do they make bad choices because that's what they intend to do? Is this country going down by accident? Or is this country going down by intent? I'm Alfred Adask. I'm here with Melody Cederstraw on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. And while you're gone, we're sparring with Frank, the producer, over definitions of words. And I don't know. Sometimes Frank makes me wince, and sometimes he makes me laugh. In this case, he was making me laugh. What's next, Melody?
Well, I want to remind the listeners to get to our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. We're going to have, there'll be the address or where you can copy and paste it to a YouTube video of Dr. Stanley Monteith. It really is a listen. He did this interview back in, or this lecture back in 2007. And it's as good 2007 as it is in reference for today. It's the Forbidden Secret. And he goes and he talks about all the various history. He's really a history buff. And we talked about what is happening in this economy. Is it by intent? And I think this video will help you decide that much of it very much is intentional. Mm-hmm. So make sure you go to the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and sign up for the weekly newsletter. We got some great prices, Silver Eagles 275 over spot. Give us a call on those. And again, a little bit of a pullback in gold and silver is a great time to be adding to your portfolio. And we have Jim from West Virginia calling us today. Good afternoon, Jim.
Good afternoon. I have to tell you folks something. I've been listening to financial information, reading it for a long, long time, and I think I can say with some assurance that this is the only program dedicated to financial information which has even spoken of market manipulation. It is without a doubt the best, and I'm going to try to contribute what I can contribute. I have to tell you, I left Charleston, West Virginia years ago after the third biggest scam in U.S. history. Kind of took my real estate. Anyway, now more on that later. I heard a few things which rattled my cage, so I started calling people I knew in Charleston. And I haven't basically been off the farm hardly here in about the last 6 or 8 years. I was shocked to find out that a fish sandwich, which was about the same size I used to get in the early 70s, was $5 now, compared to 25 cents back then, when minimum wage is about $1 an hour. So a fourth of an hour bought you lunch. Now, minimum wage about $7.50, so two-thirds of an hour bought lunch. I was shocked, because I just hadn't been to a restaurant in years. Anyway, I got to talk to people in Charleston. There is a dumpster outside of a particular nice restaurant. And every night, people dumpster diving into it because they take the food and throw it into the dumpster, and people go in there and scoop it out. There are people living under bridges in Charleston, West Virginia. The food pantries are empty. There are the nicest neighborhoods in Charleston. There are water hoses between houses because people can't afford water and extension cords. And I found that the retired people are selling their cars and catching buses again. RVs and driveways. Houses are getting robbed and nobody is reporting it because they're afraid their homeowner's insurance will skyrocket and they'll lose their house. And there are $750,000 empty houses, some of them were behind my place in Charleston. Now I'm going to tell you, West Virginia has some of the worst business taxes, rules, regulations in the entire nation. If you have a piece of business real estate, you get hit with double the taxes as owner-occupied, for instance. It is terrible when you add it all up, but I have to tell you one little interesting little goodie about business taxes. A lot of people don't pay attention to it. Business taxes only serve to increase prices, decrease availability of goods and services, increase unemployment, and drive the business out of the taxing jurisdiction. It's worse than that. If you have a small factory in a small town, let's say it produces $10 million of widgets every year. And let's say the profit's $1 million. Maybe it's owned by one person, maybe it's owned by 10 people, maybe it's a stock company, who knows. But the tax man takes that $1 million, he destroyed $10 million worth of enterprise. Suppliers and utilities and trucking and transportation and everything else, wages. And these so-and-sos know this. Adam Smith knew this in 1776. Business taxes are the most punitive there is, and there's no such thing as a business tax. There's only customer tax. I used to rail in the newspaper about economics back in the 70s and early 80s. And I said, get rid of business taxes. Tell people 10% per year cut, and that'll bring people in based on projections. Ooh, we can make a living in West Virginia. I said, you'll have to kick business moving out of the way to get down the street. They didn't do it. But J-Rock went over to Japan, and he cut a deal with Toyota. Oh, we'll just chalk off this little part of Putnam County here, and you can have your Toyota factory in it. We will call it a free trade zone. You'll have the laws of Japan in there, but not the laws of West Virginia or Putnam County or the United States. And people who work there have to pay taxes, as in America, but it's a free trade zone. None of taxes, rules, regulations, mandates, codes, policies, procedures, all that garbage from the government. And they have done quite well. Just like when Toyota left California to go to Texas, like you all mentioned the other day, and I took off on a rant and got some mad, I couldn't think straight. The same thing's happened here. But that proves that business taxes, rules, regulations are what are destroying America, and these so-and-sos know it.
And what's really bad about it is that after they pass a bunch of rules and regulations that start to grind us down, and we complain about being ground down, the government's response is to pass more rules and regulations. And as bad as things get, the government will continually try to address the problem by adding even more rules and regulations, and it only makes things worse. The solution to the problem is get the government off your back.
Alfred, I said the other day that a guy had out of color was dragged before Congress. I can't remember if he did 60 or 68% of the price of a Caterpillar bulldozer or taxes, and I forgot to say rules and regulations. And the only business rules and regulations we should really have are those affecting just weights and measures and truth and labeling, which has been destroyed recently, incidentally. But what happened was the Congressional Subcommittee didn't believe him. So he said, okay, send some guys from GAO, Chairman Accounting Office, out here, and I'll walk them through it. So he walked, opened up his books totally, every bit, and said, okay, this is the cost of our supplier. Okay, you go find from this oil supplier how much of that price is taxes and how much of it costs rules and regulations. And they did come up and went back to Congress and said, yeah, that guy's right. Now, you made, Alfred, I'm going to jump in your middle of your case right in a second. You said something about Caterpillar's was not being taxed because they put money into a Swiss company. Now, I'm telling
no,
you,
I didn't
now,
say that.
I don't see, and Bob Chapman argued about this too, I cannot see justification for any business taxes, period. We have countries in Scandinavia, for instance, which export stuff over here, and they don't have any taxes on what they export. The reason why German companies can come over here and buy West Virginia American Water Company, globalist German companies, is because they don't have hardly any business taxes. So there's no justification for it. And business taxes include capital gains taxes. Now, if you destroy, if you have a business which works at 5% profit and you wipe it out, that 5% out with tax, you wiped out 18 times more economic activity. If it makes 20% net profit, you wiped out 4 or 5. It's basic, simple science. Now, I'm going to throw something else in here. I've tried to make a case for metals. I will make another one. Okay? I guess you all have heard of clouded titles. That means that even if you pay off all your payments at the bank, that if you don't get that wet coffee back in your hot little hands, that property isn't yours. It's inside of some, bundled up inside of some security, mortgage-backed security. God knows who's bought it. Now, there is another scam as bad, if not worse, than the clouded title scam. Now, people say, oh, you can't go wrong investing in real estate. I'm afraid you're wrong. What do you think is about the second or third worst scam in U.S. history, Alfred? I'm going to ask first.
Probably mortgages.
Yeah, second or third. Okay, Melody?
I would agree.
Okay, I'm going to give you one that's worse, and this, they really like to go after mortgage-free houses. Four words, and I've been trying to get this out to the Patriot community. I broke it loose on the Terry Brownfield show in 2006. It never gets traction. I'm going to give you four words. International, property, maintenance, code. Code is not a law, incidentally. It's evidence of law. A jurisdiction just adopted. It is not a law. It's published by some outlet in Illinois. A jurisdiction just buys the book and they can adopt it and steal property to the tune of $500 to $1,000 a day for every day an infraction occurs. Something not in good working condition, like a sticky window, a loose door, a dented gutter, a dented downspout, anything not in good working condition, according to the Gestapo, I mean the code official, who is the sole interpreter to the definition of the Gestapo. Anything he deems an unsanitary condition, same deal. It could be empty pop cans, dog droppings on your property, whatever he says. Same is true for any noxious weed that can steal raw land. I was involved with one group in Florida, and that lady said they figured that $1 billion, with a B, dollars of real estate had been stolen with international property maintenance code. What's so evil is if you read that sucker, because they update it every 3 years, if you read that sucker, you'll find out you can amend it any way you want, including changing its name. So if you download whichever it is off the Internet and you look at it, it may not be the one that your jurisdiction is doing. Now, this has been carefully designed. It's been on the books for 14 years. It is carefully designed to roll out as tax revenues decrease. Clarksburg, West Virginia, I haven't verified this, just hired 5 code officials, and every day is a mandatory misdemeanor. Not only that, but the code official can come into your house at any convenient time, according to him, because he's a sole interpreter. He can prevent you from entering your house. He can have your house torn down and a lien placed against your property. So the only thing you're left with is a mortgage payment, and they love to go after paid-for houses. Mine was. More money, honey. They can go after and all your stuff's in a landfill, and your home was totally intimidated. Now, I want you folks to understand that this is something which needs to be brought to everybody's attention, because if you're talking financials for survival, if I had real estate now, and I used to have 8 houses, okay, I would sell. I got burned. burned out of three of them by shenanigans, but I won't even take off on that one. But I'll tell you what, real estate is not a good investment. Any place you'll find this, www.iccsafe.org, www.icc, stands for International Code Council, safe, S-F-A-F-E.org. Do a search on your state, find out where it is, if it's been reported back to them. It could be in other places. If you have real estate in any of these jurisdictions, they can steal it if they so desire. It's 10 times worse than eminent domain. It costs them money to steal them eminent domain. I'm telling you right now, if you have a lick of sense and you have some real estate you really don't need, you get rid of that sucker while you can and you put some metal in your pocket and you get prepared to boogity, 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 because the cities are going to burn if this goes hot. And the suburbs, the nicest suburbs, are going to get looted first. So I'm making a case for metals. I have torn into the stock market. I've torn into the bond market. I've told you about, folks, about insurance that's going to go down because they're invested in stocks and bonds. And you know dang good and well, you put money in your bank account, you may be in trouble. Now, I'm telling you right now, even land ain't safe, depending on where you
are. Well, we live in, I mean, there is no easy or simple solution to what's coming. I agree that metals are the best choice. The best generic choice you might find in individual stock. There's individual investments, but in terms of generic, you compare metals to stocks to bonds. Metals are the way to go. I agree with that, but it doesn't mean that everything's going to be simple if you buy metal. We are living in difficult and dangerous times, and you're going to have to adjust your mind to deal with that fact. We have thugs on the streets, and we're likely to see more of them as times get more difficult, but we also have thugs in the White House.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Well,
and where's the solution on this situation? You know, of the solution to the problem is that somebody's got to actually stand up and fight these people. And
right.
When I say fight, I don't necessarily mean debate. As long as you're willing to be sheared, you can't complain about being a sheep.
Well, let me say this much. Everything we consider normal is about to change. And let me say this much. If you have any vestige of believing your government's out to protect your rights, your lives, your property, read the International Property Maintenance Code. Get mad. Not enough mad to do anything rash. I'm a pacifist. I'm Christian. Just get mad enough to do something, folks. May God bless you and keep you up the good work. Your best financial radio show in the world at this point. Catch you later.
Thank you, Jim.
Comments
and the compliments.
Thanks, Jim. You know, look, people need to prepare. They need to get ready. And you know, there's so many different ways that you compare, not just financially. But when you deal with gold and silver, you get to prepare and you get to position yourself so that you can take advantage of opportunities that will come in the future. That's why you buy gold and silver. You position yourself. Opportunities will come. They always do. And you will have the choice. You will be able to take advantage of it. Not only that, for, you know, when times get tough, if you do have to purchase things, I don't believe you're going to be taking gold and silver to the grocery stores to be buying your things. However, I do believe that there might be some local purchases on a one-to-one basis, barter type situation for food. If the system breaks up and deliveries are not coming to your locale, and we see how quick bread departs the grocery store shelves just at the hint of a hurricane or a tornado coming. So if anything else goes bad, you can see how quickly food can leave. We've seen pictures. What happens when the threat of food is taken away from people? They're not very happy. So, yes, there can be some situations where you can use that silver in order to barter, or your gold to barter in order to get your eggs, your meat, your milk, your cheese locally. And that's what I always loved about the 90% silver. If the stores were open, you can still use it. You can take that currency into the store. You don't want to because it's silver. You can always want to get the silver content out of it first. But you could actually take that 90% silver, the quarters, dimes, and 50-cent pieces to the store and buy something if you had an extreme emergency. That's why that is so important. We'll talk about this a little bit more when we're back from the break.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Got an article here from Street Authority, and the headline is "The Trigger That Could Send Gold Prices Through the Roof." Chinese officials are quietly building the world's largest national reserves of gold bullion, and within the next year, the Chinese government reportedly wants to shock the markets with a surprise announcement of their pumped-up holdings. Sudden word of a buyer like China having tied up so much gold would almost certainly be a hair trigger for the gold prices moving up. What we're talking about is that China is reportedly preparing to tell the world how much gold it really has. And the author of this article says, sudden word of a buyer like China having tied up so much supply would almost certainly be a hair trigger for gold prices moving up. Do you think that's true or false or both, Melody?
Well,
I leave you the both because I know you like to
both. There you go, both.
China announces.
I don't know why you asked me any more questions, Al. You know my answer.
Just want to check and make sure you haven't changed your mind. You know, women change their minds from time to time, and I'm just checking to see whether you've changed your mind. Let me go on with the article. It says, over the past 12 months, Chinese government has been stockpiling gold with unprecedented quantities being bought and sold through markets in Beijing, Hong Kong, and Shanghai. Some of this buying is being reported, but the majority is not. Because of this secrecy, few know that China, already by far the world's largest gold producer, has surpassed India as the world's largest gold importer for the first time in recent history. Now, to clarify this, what's the implication of this? China is both producing, world's largest producer of gold. They've got mines all over China. They're looking for gold any place they can find it. They are importing all more gold than anyone else in the world right now. Now, suppose I were a billionaire and I spent $100 million purchasing some gold. Would that prove I viewed gold as the ultimate investment, or would it merely mean I had more money than I knew what to do with and spent $100 million on gold the same month I also spent $100 million on a yacht for my girlfriend? All right? Some people just have so much money, they buy stuff. It doesn't necessarily mean that the billionaire, because he bought $100 million in gold, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden he's become a gold bug. Some people just buy things. They got more money than they can spend, than they know what to do with, and they do strange things. But suppose I were a billionaire who not only spent $100 million purchasing physical gold bullion on the markets, but also took to the mountains with a pan, shovel, and a mule to prospect for more gold. The fact that I wasn't merely buying more gold, but actually devoting my time and energy to prospect for more gold would be a much stronger evidence of my conviction that the gold is a tremendous investment, that it's hugely overpriced, and now is the time to buy, find, whatever. Get it now while you can. We might similarly ignore China's determination to buy more gold on the international market as simply evidence of a nation that has huge savings and a desire to get rid of its 1.2 trillion U.S. fiat dollars. They got a stack of dollars. All right, fine, get rid of them. Let's buy some gold. That could be all that's motivating China. But when we see that China is not only the world's largest importer of gold, it's also the world's largest producer of gold. It's evident that China is not simply trading dollars for gold. China is making the incredible effort and expense to mine more gold than any other nation on earth. China's not merely mining that gold, it's holding every ounce that it buys or mines. You know, if China was mining gold and they said, well, we're mining the gold, let's sell it. We can get $1,300 an ounce. They're not doing that. They're mining it and they're putting it in their treasury. They are mining it if the real cost to China, for all I know, it's cost them $1,500, $2,000 an ounce to mine the gold. They're still mining it in order to put it in their treasury and keep it. China doesn't currently sell gold. The implication, China is convinced that the value of gold will rise dramatically in the foreseeable future. More, China is probably convinced that the political power in gold will also rise dramatically in the foreseeable future. I'm not going to argue that China's convictions are infallible, but they are a good indicator that some people with a lot of intelligence and a lot of information are convinced that the price, the value, and the power of gold will rise dramatically over the next several years. One more implication in this story. If China is about to announce that it has, say, 8,000 tons, we've got numbers below in this report that we may or may not get to before I get done here. China right now has at least 3,000 tons of gold. That's the reported amount that they've imported over the last 6-8 years. Right? They've got at least 3,000 tons of gold. The report is that China is going to make an announcement within the next 12 months of how much gold it really has, and we can expect that they're going to announce, no, we don't have 3,000, we got 5,000, maybe 6,000, maybe even 8,000 tons of gold. Now, this compares to the United States, which allegedly has 8,200 tons of gold at Fort Knox and the Federal Reserve Vault, and I think at West Point. I think those are the three primary gold depositories. We allegedly have 8,200 tons. What happens if the world finds out China has as much or more gold than we do? One of the things that's going to happen is China might actually do an inventory that's available to the public and say, no, here's our gold, count it, weigh it, test it. How many people would then believe that the United States government, who claims to have 8,200 tons of gold, but it hasn't been inventoried since 1953 or 54, I don't recall, but 1950s in any case, it hasn't been inventoried in over half a century. How many people are going to continue to believe government will say, oh, yeah, we've got 8,200 tons of gold, even though we can't return the gold that was deposited with us by Germany, we can't give them their gold back. even though we've had reports of bars of gold that had tungsten cores that were probably made here in the United States. All of this is indicating, I mean, we've had another report from James Turk just in the last week or so, that they're beginning to see gold bars that were smelted, if that's the proper term. I don't want to say coined. I can't say coined, but they're manufactured in the 1960s. Here in the United States, they're beginning to appear on the market. Turk thinks that's more evidence that we are almost depleted of our gold supplies. If China's going to make the announcement, say, guess what? We got more gold than you do, right? We have 8,000 tons. Maybe 9,000. Who knows what they're going to claim? It might be 5,000. I don't know. But one of the big questions is, where did they get all that gold? There's only so much gold in the world. And there are people who believe that the government has been secretly selling gold out of the United States Treasury for some time. And they believe that this is what's backing up the stock markets and the commodities market and their ability to suppress the price of gold. The government has been secretly supplying gold that disappears into the markets. And by doing so, they've been able to hold the price. It's one of the reasons they may have been able to suppress the price of gold. If that's true, if it turns out that China can prove it's got, let's say, 8,000 tons, there's a high probability that several thousand of those tons came from the United States Treasury. It may put enough pressure on the Treasury where the Treasury sits back and says, ha, oh my gosh, guess what? We've only got 1,000 tons or 2,000 tons or whatever left. In the event that happens, what will happen to the price of gold? The apparent supply that's been available on the free market, or allegedly free market, the manipulated markets, for sale, that supply will be known to be diminished. China's not selling any gold. And if the United States doesn't have any, the supply is going to be diminished. And under classical just supply and demand theory, economic theory, when the supply goes down, price has to go up, assuming demand stays equal. And demand will stay even or even increase. And the point we're making is that if China is going to announce, if this is a true story, that China is within a year of announcing how much gold they have, it's going to have a significant impact on the United States financial system. It'll have a significant impact on the price of gold. And we can even ask, why would China make that announcement? As secretive as China is, why would China sit back and say, guess what? Ha, you won't believe this, but we've got 8,000 tons of gold. And the world is going to say, oh, my gosh. And China's going to brag, and everybody's, oh, my gosh, we're really impressed. Do you think China will make the announcement just for the sake of bragging? And I don't. I suspect that if China were to announce how much gold it really has, it would, number one, signal that it has more gold than the United States. It would, number two, signal that it believed that the days of being able to purchase gold as cheaply as $1,300 an ounce are long gone. And they would sit back and say, look, we're not going to be able to squeeze much more blood out of this stone. And therefore, we're going to tell the truth. Here's how much gold we've got, and the price is going up. All right? We won't be able to buy any more dirt cheap. We know that, so why not tell how much we've really got? Because if they told how much gold they really had, let's say a year ago or 2 years ago, it wouldn't have been as much as they'll have within the next year. But it might have been enough to make Congress and the American people sit back and say, we got to stop selling gold to China. My God, they're going to have all our gold. It might have caused restrictions on China's ability to buy gold this cheaply. If China's truly going to report how much gold it has, it at least implies that China may have reached a level where they say there's no more free gold, no more cheap gold to be had. price is going up. We've got a big chunk of it. Suits us fine if it goes up because we can't buy much more. There's not much left at $1,300 an ounce. So we'll watch and see. Is the story a true story? All right. Well, it's been reported again at, what did I say, the name of the outfit? Street Authority made this report. It predicts within the next year. Is it a legitimate report or is it a rumor? There's more here, and we're not going to be able to get to the whole thing, the entire report, but there's plenty of evidence to suggest this is a valid news story. This is probably going to happen. It will happen sooner or later. One, the day is coming when China tells us how much gold it really has. Whether it happens within the next year, I don't know. We'll watch and see. Maybe yes, maybe no. But for what it's worth, a little bit more here before we run out of time. From 2007 to 2012, China imported a total of 1,561 tons of gold. That's in 5 years. They brought in 1,500 tons of gold, almost 1,600 tons of gold in 5 years. In 2013, China imported 1,497 tons. Thus, they almost doubled their gold supply in 2013. That's, they now hold a reported 3,000 tons of gold, but there's a high probability that they have more than that. You know, this is just another one. We talk about the leaves in the breeze. This is just another one of those reports. Another one of the leaves in the breeze. It is not absolute evidence, but it is evidence. It's not absolute proof, but it is some proof. We are coming to a moment when anyone who's got gold is going to be glad they have it, and anyone who doesn't have gold is going to wish they did. We're coming to a moment when people are going to sit back, as always, and say, oh my gosh, I could have bought gold when it was just $1,300 an ounce. I don't know what I was thinking about. It's always that way. We do it with land, we do it with homes, we do it with all of our investments. I coulda, woulda, shoulda. Some people will act, some people are going to get some gold, some people are going to be protected and insured against financial catastrophe by the fact that they've got some physical gold. Those of you who agree with that, give Melody a call. 1-800-375-4188. We are out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.